This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
Yes. This is the next generation of talk. Now, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Hey, good news! Recessions are good for you! Who knew? Recessions are actually good. Good for the body, good for the spirit, good for the mind, if you are, in fact, an insane person. Well, like the Washington Post, for example, that actually published this piece, 7 Ways a Recession Could Be Good for You. Good afternoon and welcome to day 2 of my triumphant return to Afternoon Drive. It is me, Rich, with you again today, 3 to 7 p.m. on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. 855-839-1210 is the number for you. By the way, Biden thanking a Coast Guard member for hurricane rescue days before being fired over the vaccine mandate. And Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House fembot, just finished a briefing, and her software programming was not updated to actually be able to answer the question that she got on that fact of how can the president thank a member of the Coast Guard after he just canned him for not getting the vaccine mandate? Great question. Terrible follow-up answer by Karine Jean-Pierre. But that's what you expect from a program. Anyway, there's a lot to get to this afternoon, but I'm just amazed. Janet Yellen, the White House, the Secretary of the Treasury, came out and actually said, yes, the goal of the Biden administration is to enhance equity, racial equity, by manipulating the economy to get everything that they would ever want from a lefty's point of view. And this goes, of course, right after the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, came out and said, yeah, we're going to focus on rebuilding after Hurricane Ian based on equity. Equity, you know, the color of your skin and that sort of thing. And Secretary Janet Yellen says we need to build a fairer economy, and that's why racial equity is at the forefront of our agenda. I mean, they're not even pretending anymore to divide Americans by race. They're not even pretending. And they are absolutely all in on taking your money and then swishing it around and then redistributing it to try to achieve their societal goals. And I'm telling you right now, when the Washington Post comes out and says, listen, good news. A recession's good for you. Feel good. Feel good on the inside about this. And the nonsense that they explain on this. Now, maybe you filled up your car with gas today. I've noticed that prices are climbing again. And the White House is trying to take credit for that. And you'll hear that from the fembot, Karine Jean-Pierre. We'll play the audio for you in a little bit. We're just grabbing all that. The White House press conference just ended a short time ago. But we here on this show in the afternoon, led by trusty executive producer Matt DeSantis, we're going to make sure that you get all the cutting edge audio so you hear it first right here as soon as it happens. So we're compiling all that for you. But basically, again, the White House trying to take credit for gas prices going down. And then the minute they start to go up, White House starts blaming everybody else. That's Putin. It's COVID. It's the COVID-Putin combo platter. One from column A, one from column B. And this comes at a time when they're still selling oil from our Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which is oil that belongs to all of us and is there for an emergency, you know, like a massive hurricane, for example, that could wipe out the livelihood of millions of people and destroy entire towns. That's why we have a Strategic Petroleum Reserve, not so that the Biden administration can do everything it possibly can to not drill and not increase our oil supply and to just tap into the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. But I digress. Let's think about all the ways, according to the Washington Post, that a recession could be good for you. Shall we? By Michael Singletary. Number one, housing prices may finally come down to reasonable levels, which stinks if you're selling your home, by the way. I don't know how that's good news, but because the average rate for a 30-year mortgage jumped 6.7% this week, the Washington Post wants to spin that by saying right now that sellers in many markets are lowering their asking prices so buyers can qualify for the loans. Now, they see this as a great thing, of course, because, you know, God forbid you should make a lot of money on the sale of your home. God forbid. And they see this also because housing equity. I mean, why should you be able to charge $1 million for your home? Why? Somebody can't afford that. If somebody can't afford it, then you shouldn't be allowed to charge that. So they're spinning that. And maybe you're somebody who is thinking about selling your home right now. Perhaps you put it on the market. Perhaps you're realizing, hey, you know what? The buyers just aren't there anymore. What happened? What happened is the Fed, after years of manipulating the markets and the economy and pumping out cash with all their little QE2s, their quantitative easing, they've decided now to just jack up interest rates as a way to deal with inflation. It's not going to work. It's the opposite of what they should be doing right now. But they're doing this anyway. As a consequence of that, housing prices are coming down. They're coming down because buyers are not buying homes anymore. You see, this is where the Washington Post, they're so clueless. Prices of homes are not coming down because sellers are turning around and going, hey, you know what? I guess we'll lower the price because we want to be nice. No, it's because people are not buying homes. The market is cooling in such a big way that if you are a realtor or a real estate agent, you're getting a little bit nervous right now. And if you were thinking about selling your home, you might be thinking, I think I'll wait. I think I'll hold off. Now, that's bad news all over for the economy because the housing market was going great for a lot of people. And then for a lot of people, they were thinking to themselves, well, you know what? I'll fix up my house. I'll get ready to sell it. So that also helps contractors and all these other people who have been hurt by this economy and Joe Biden's war on energy. You know, the guy filling up his tank with gas, who's a plumber and electrician, people actually work for a living. And then, of course, they've been dealing with trying to get the parts they need and everything else. One bright side, savings rates are up. Gee, that 1% yield or that 0.5 yield on your checking account. Look at you raking in the bucks. Next thing you know, you're going to be on the Monopoly board. You just keep it up, kids. 1% saving rates now for many people. And maybe even a 3% annual percentage yield. Woohoo! So don't worry about recession. Who cares if you're paying 67% more for eggs? You might get 3% back in your return on the $50 you have in your checking account. So, I mean, I'm just saying, Turks and Caicos, anybody? Cash it in. How stupid is that? You and I are both paying through the nose for everything. I got three kids to feed. I got an 8-year-old. I have a 5-year-old, 6-year-old. Now she's 6. Yeah. And I have a 2.5-year-old. And we do the grocery shopping. And every time I go to the grocery shopping, I think of the same thing. Can I just steal all this stuff like everybody else? But I'm a good person, so I don't actually do that. But I mean, why not? I don't have a bag. I can just walk out with it. They stop me. I go, what? I paid for it. I just don't have a bag. They're not going to be like, well, okay, I guess you've got a good point there, because I can't bring a bag. If I forget to bring my bag in, they're not going to give me one. I got to buy it. I'm not doing that. So just walk out with it. So people are just stealing groceries. And I envy those people. It's a terrible thing to do, and don't do it. But again, we live at a time when lawlessness is rewarded. So it's not like you get punished for shoplifting, as long as it's under $10,000. But I look at the prices of things and I realize now, wow, so a pound of ground beef is now $8. And not even the good stuff. I'm talking about the manager's special, which is what we like to buy. You know, the stuff that's just about to the point where you really shouldn't cook it. But that's why my people, the Italians, came up with the red gravy. Because you throw that meat in there, you let it cook all day, and you're good. It's peasant food, baby. It's good for the soul. It really is. It's good for the soul. And you know, you get a little GI issues here and there. But listen, you got to do what you got to do in Joe Biden's America. But don't tell me that I'm supposed to celebrate the fact that you might get a 3% annual percentage yield, even though you're paying 60% more for meat and 70% more for eggs and 39% more for milk and gas and everything else. How does that 3% annual percentage yield in a savings account when you have no money to put in there? How does that help anybody? But this is the Washington Post spinning it. 7 ways a recession could be good for you. Hey, don't turn that frown upside down, huh? I-bonds inflation rate might go even higher. The Series I savings bond was created as a hedge against inflation, and that might go even higher. Well, that's great. The market stinks, but that may go even higher. And there you go. You can purchase up to 10,000 in electronic I-bonds in a calendar year. You're not going to really make a lot of money, but you know, 9.62%, it's good. I mean, that's great. You get a fixed rate, really good stuff. Of course, when the market was at a peak and you're making 17% returns, 20% returns, the dollar is king. Yes, if you plan to travel overseas, even though you can't afford to travel overseas, take solace knowing that your dollar will go a lot further The British pound fell to an all-time low against the dollar. So, can't afford to take the family on overseas vacation, of course, nor can you afford to take the family to a Disney vacation or really any other vacation because you have to cut back. But if you are the lucky ones who can fly to Europe right now, your dollar will go even further. Of course, the airline tickets you're going to pay are through the nose, and they're also going to whack you with every fee on earth, including baggage fees and this fee and that. But when you get there, your dollar, just saying, going to go a lot further. Look on the bright side. Always look on the bright side of life. Monty Python, am I right? Unemployment is still relatively low. You know what? I don't believe that for a second, that unemployment is still relatively low. I think the real issue here is that we have a situation where a lot of businesses have yet to actually lay people off. And that's coming. And you know it's coming because as everything starts to slow down, because we are in a recession, there are going to be layoffs. Companies are already doing hiring freezes. Unemployment's only still low because a lot of people still have COVID money and haven't needed to go look for a job. We gave people so much money. We injected money into savings accounts during COVID four times. And now they don't really need to work, but soon they will. Soon they will. And then they're going to find out that companies are not hiring and companies are not hiring full time. And a lot of companies are letting people go. It's happening already. I mean, you know, this is the stupidity of the Washington Post, right? They just talk about how the housing market is cooling. And so that means that home prices are falling. And then in the same set of paragraphs, they point out, well, unemployment's low. Well, how long do you think it's going to last for, I don't know, home building contractors, remodelers, all these other people that employ people to put in windows and doors and do custom remodeling for homes? Because if people aren't buying homes, they may not go in and renovate those properties. They may not do the upgrades. If you don't think you're going to sell your home in the next couple of years because of inflation and everything else and mortgage rates, you might go, I think I'll wait. I mean, we were going to do the bathrooms and the kitchen thinking we could put it on the market, but what's the point? I'll wait. So how soon until those companies stop hiring and start laying people off? I mean, I'm just asking. They write, your used car is worth more. If you're looking to upgrade to a newer car and your car is in fairly good condition, you'll get more for your trade-in. That's fantastic. Except here's the problem. The problem is for a lot of people right now, they can't afford to buy a new car. They have to cut back. Gas prices have been so astronomical that even if they planned on buying a new car, they can't. So that hurts the auto industry, which then in turn employs people. I know the Washington Post doesn't really understand how this works. So let me kind of explain it a little. Econ 101. So let's say I'm building a car. I hire people to build those cars. I give them jobs and then I pay them money and then they go out and spend that money. Everybody wins. But if people stop buying new cars, I got to lay some of those people off and then they don't have money coming in because I'm not paying them. And then they don't have money to spend, so now they're not spending it at other places. I mean, you understand this. You're a smart person because you listen to me. But the Washington Post doesn't understand this because they're not smart people. Student, and this is it, number seven ways, again, the Washington Post, seven ways that a recession could be good for you, good for your soul. Ready? The coup de grace. Student loan forgiveness is coming. Winter is coming. Oh, yeah. Washington Post is all in on this. Roosevelt uses executive power to wage war against the economic emergency gripping the United States. He also, for the record, uses executive power to imprison Japanese, German, and Italian Americans for no reason whatsoever. But I mean, I digress. I would never want to disparage the great hero of the left who literally ripped people out of their homes without any due process whatsoever and put them in concentration camps. Just because they happen to be Japanese or Italian or German Americans. Again, I would never want to disparage the king, the lion of the left, FDR. But he did those things. And he also was the worst when it came to abusing executive power. The worst. And I know I'm going to hear from Don Federico, my buddy, who admires what Roosevelt did with the war. And I'm not taking that away from him. But what I am saying is that domestically, Roosevelt was a disaster in so many ways. And everything you want to think about the powerful executive today that encroaches on every aspect of your life, from even the price you pay for wheat and the ability to grow wheat in your backyard and everything else, all comes from the policies of FDR. Oh, I mean, Woodrow Wilson, too, before him. But again, I digress. So the Washington Post loves the fact that President Biden is doing something similar to FDR. by forgiving student loan debt to help struggling federal student loan holdees who haven't been paying their student loans for 2.5 years because COVID and won't have to pay their loans till at least the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, you know, the unbiased Washington Post, right? Democracy dies in darkness. Let's use this opportunity to compare Joe Biden to Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the hero of every progressive. The Biden administration also announced last year a time-limited waiver to help forgive more debt under the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. Act fast, though. That deadline is October 31st. They conclude by saying, of course, times are tough, and for some people, much more than others. But remember, that fear will not help you make wise financial decisions. Well, I feel better. Thank you, Washington Post. I feel so much better now. I'm going to go to Europe and spend my mighty dollar now. Thank you so much. With all the extra cash I have with my 3% savings rate yield on money I don't have in my savings account anymore because I had to take it out to pay for things, I'm going to go to Europe. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much for this. And as all my friends who are in the real estate and the housing industry start losing their jobs, we're going to thank you for that, for applauding the fact that the housing market is finally cooling. Bravo to the Washington Post. I'll tell you, you guys should be motivational speakers over there because you can take an S sandwich and make it smell like a Taco Bell kind. Well, I mean, that's kind of similar. I'm actually being redundant there, but you know what I mean. Yeah, 7 ways a recession could be good for you by Michelle Singletary. Frame it, hang it in the Louvre. This is a work of art. This is an actual work of liberal spin, if I've ever heard it. But I know you're shocked, just like I am, that the Washington Post would ever try to spin Biden's economy like this so that you could always look on the bright side of life. We're all shocked. Meanwhile, in real world, Americans are hurting big time, and you're about to pay more for gas. And the White House again today, dodging responsibility, as we will share with you as the show progresses today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Great to be with you here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Zeoli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, you know what? Secret P on Twitter makes a great point. You know, trying to lose some weight, trying to get back in shape, right? But now we're talking about the upside of a recession. You know, you don't eat. And then, boom, the weight goes up. You know what I'm saying? You cut back on eating because it's your recession. Let's do this. Let's try to give the Washington Post a few more ideas about why a recession might be good for you. I'm going to go with that. You can't eat. I mean, the medical science is clear. Intermittent fasting is great for you. So you can fast for months. I mean, think all the money you'll save. All the calories you'll save, right? You don't have to do laundry. I mean, let's face it. You know what I mean? In a recession, you got to cut back on laundry detergent. Stuff's expensive, and it all literally goes down the drain. So you have to do less laundry. You stink more, people will leave you alone, too. A little more privacy. You get more privacy that way, too. Think about this as well. In an inflation economy, like right now, in a recession with Joe Biden, another way there's an upside of this, of course, is you're not going to go out with your friends. I don't know about you, but friends are overrated. Friends and family are overrated. Don't you all miss the days of COVID when you don't have to see anybody? You just Zoom them. You just Zoom them now and be like, listen, I would love to come out to dinner with you, but we can't afford it. So I'm going to talk to you for 10 minutes and I'm going to go binge watch Breaking Bad again or The Sopranos again for the 5,700th time. Don't judge me. That's a good one, too. Hey, microwave dinners. You know, microwave dinners used to be a thing. And I, for one, love a good hungry man. Am I right with the mashed potatoes and the turkey? Who doesn't? Don't act like, you know, ramen noodles. Hello. Is this thing on? Ramen noodles, the staple of every poor college kid. You can live like you're back in college. The upside of Joe Biden's economy, the upside of a recession is you can feel like you're back in college again. Broke eating ramen noodles, drinking Milwaukee's best. You see, you'll feel young again. That's the beauty of Joe Biden's America. It's great. Everybody wins. Hey, I got another great idea for you, too. less showering. You know, you got to save on the water bill. I mean, showering takes time. And then, you know, you got to scrub your body, less soap, right? It's a whole thing. You dry skin, your hair, and no heat, which means you'll cuddle more with your loved ones. You see, a recession will actually make you closer to all your loved ones. Because you're going to be like Civil War soldiers who had a snuggle to keep warm at night. You're going to be like that at night. Come on, everybody in the family blanket. One of those solar blankets, like Chuck wore in Breaking Bad. You'll all be under a solar blanket at night because you can't turn the heat on. But think of how close your family will become in Joe Biden's America. I mean, family values, am I right? Huh? What else? Well, I know one thing you can do. You can save money by not watching television, because then you won't be able to get all the propaganda and spin from news. So there's actually that's a benefit. Never mind, forget that, because radio is free. So, yeah, you can try to spin this any way you can. But the problem is, of course, we feel this every single day. But if you have any ideas on how we can add to the Washington Post ways that a recession could be good for you, please let me know, and we'll add that to the list. So I think we got a good going list so far, Matt DeSantis. We'll have to compile that and add on. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's the least we can do. Here to help. Hey, you'll skip dessert. You'll save the love handles will go away.
the no food one is incredible. That's going to be almost impossible to top.
Look, I mean, I'm going to do NJ diet in a moment, but this is even beyond. This is NJ diet beyond diet. You just don't eat anything. And yeah, you might eventually, you know, die of starvation. But listen, by then, hopefully we'll have a Republican in office and this nightmare will end. But in the meantime, you'll feel really good about it. And I got another one, too. You can make your own homemade Halloween costumes like Mama Zioli used to do for me. When I was a kid, Mama Zioli was so cheap that I would get those. You remember those Halloween costumes that had a plastic mask and then just it was like a plastic thing that went on your body and had an image on it of Casper the Ghost or something? That was my Halloween costume. We could make homemade Halloween costumes again, which will also save people money in a recession. So that'll be great. Your kids can all walk around with garbage bags on for Halloween. Gee, thanks, Mom. I'm Batman, huh? I'm a hefty bag. I'm a hefty bag, and you drew bat ears. I'm not a bat. Nobody thinks I'm Batman, Mom. Thank you. My friends are all making fun of me, but hey, homemade costumes. Joe Biden's America. In reality world, Secretary Janet Yellen, we need a fairer economy, and that's why racial equity is at the forefront of our agenda. I will absolutely get into that in some detail with you as well. I don't know about you, but as I'm watching gas prices go up again, I keep thinking to myself that at some point we're going to hear more and more about Vladimir Putin again. You notice how when gas prices go down, they stop talking about Putin, and then all of a sudden gas prices go up and suddenly Russia's all in the news again. There's a correlation. Mark my words on this. There's a correlation. There was a time the last couple of weeks when we just heard a lot less about the war in Ukraine. And once again, it's now we're at the precipice of nuclear war. Any minute now, Putin's going to launch nuclear hellfire on Earth. And it's convenient because it comes right at the moment that you're suddenly paying more for gas prices again. Isn't that something how that work, right? Yes, emotional support rhinoceros. Recessions are good because people can't afford to buy things that are bad, like guns or gasoline or cocaine. I would add that to the list, too. You got to cut back on that. Or, hookers. I'm just saying, I'm trying to be positive here. It's like I live in crazy world. Matt DeSantis sends me this op-ed from the Washington Post, and I actually fell off my chair reading it today. The 7 ways a recession can be good for you. In Philadelphia, we are dealing with, of course, a progressive lunatic named Larry Krasner. He's a district attorney. He is part of a growing trend in America right now of these progressive kooks who are funded by a guy named George Soros. I have a list of them to share with you throughout the country in blue cities across America. Now, Larry Krasner is the worst of the worst. Later in the show today, we're going to talk to Andy McCarthy from National Review. He'll be on at about 3:40 today. Krasner's lying again, lying and trying to blame MAGA for all the violence in Philadelphia, all the gun violence. He's trying to blame MAGA for this. Secondly, too, later in the show today, Representative Amon Brown is going to be on. Now, he's the man. I'm telling you, this guy is great. He is at the forefront of the fight to try to impeach Larry Krasner, District Attorney Larry Krasner. And we're going to talk to him later in the show today. But in the meantime, I wanted to share with you this little piece of audio here. This is the District Attorney Larry Krasner bolting from his own press conference rather than explain why he went soft on an accused serial carjacker and killer. And I want to thank Ralph Cipriano for finding this audio. It was the conclusion of Larry Krasner's Monday press conference, and the district attorney walked out after receiving a question that, well, he didn't like. Cut two.
Mr. Krasner, I have a question about one of those carjackings that you are cooperating with the U.S. Attorney's Office about. Amir Harvey, he's 22 years old. He's been arrested six times since 2018. Four of those arrests involve suspected carjackings. The fifth arrest involves a VUFA case where he allegedly shot four times at the police. In the carjacking, unfortunately, the DA's office lost the case against him. 12 days later, he came before you and the judge on the VUFA case. And the most he was charged with after shooting four police officers was reckless endangerment. And he only got 11 and a half to 23 months in jail. Can you explain the light charges of the light sentence?
I would have to look into the details of that matter. Thank you very much.
I got a follow-up question.
Thank you very much.
Didn't you say we had one follow-up, sir?
Pathetic. This guy shoots police officers and he gets a light slap on the wrist from Larry Krasner. But that's what the district attorney of Philadelphia does. Hey, keep the suggestions coming on ways a recession is good for you. Joan pointing out on Twitter, no more worrying about having to make different dinners to please all members of your household. You and the dog can eat the same food. I agree. Here's another way recession is good for you. You know you got a can of tuna that's been in your cabinet for like 7 years. Eat it. You were saving it for Armageddon. How about a Twinkie? You probably have Twinkies in your house that are really old, too. So ways a recession are good for you. You're going to eat all the food that you thought was expired. Look at that, right? Linda Liu says, under Obama, Biden, kids had to move into parents' basements. Now parents have nowhere to go. Biden stole their retirement money. Well, you see, Linda, I'm going to teach you how to look at it through the lens of the Washington Post. See, Biden's economy is reuniting families. Now parents have to move in with their kids. And it's going to be great. Families are coming back together again. Look at that. Victory in 2024. We'll all get more exercise from walking because no one will be able to afford gas for their car. Hey, listen, 10,000 steps a day. Now, under Joe Biden, it's 10 million steps a day since you have to walk literally everywhere. But why not? You know what I mean? You got to feel good. It really is. Honestly, I feel sometimes like I'm going crazy with all this stuff. Later in the show, I'm going to get into this with you as well. The American Medical Association is pushing the Department of Justice to investigate and prosecute those who call out gender surgeries online. You know, we've had a lot of this, and they're really going after this. There's one particular Twitter account called Libs of TikTok. Fantastic. And Libs of TikTok has been exposing the madness and the cruelty, the insanity of what we're doing to our children in this country, where we're actually mutilating them, giving them medication that will change them forever. And now the American Medical Association wants the Department of Justice to prosecute those who call this out on social media. So this is the kind of tyranny, this is the kind of tyrannical nonsense, big government, scary big brother overreach that I am always trying to warn people about. And it's happening. It's very, very real. Johnny Cook says, because of the recession, Halloween will be safer. Many of us will have to switch back to giving trick-or-treaters candy because we can't afford rainbow fentanyl. That's true. And hey, think about it this way. You're not going to want to stuff pot into those brownies anymore to give to the kids. You're going to want to keep it for yourself. So safer trick-or-treating. Well done, Johnny Cook. I say that's also great, too. No, you know, there was a story today where I guess they're putting fentanyl, rainbow fentanyl in Legos. Did you hear this story? I don't know if it's true or not, but I know one thing. What's more dangerous than a Lego stuffed with rainbow fentanyl is one on the floor that you step on when you have bare feet, which I did this morning, and it hurts. I've been hit by a car before. It didn't hurt as bad as stepping on a Lego with bare feet. You ever do that? It goes right through you. It really, it's a pain. I think they use it in medieval torture chambers, actually. I think it's where Legos were actually invented. Maybe. We'll look into it. Look, you can do one of two things. You can do the Joe Biden diet and just stop eating altogether. Or you can do NJ diet and you'll be able to eat and feel good and lose weight and do this in time for the holiday season, because NJ diet is going to help you, contractually guaranteed, lose the weight. You'll be able to fit into that Halloween costume. You'll show up to a holiday dinner 20 to 40 pounds lighter. It can happen when you partner with NJ Diet. NJ Diet can help you look like the best you ever, and you're going to feel even better knowing you're not just lighter, but you're also healthier. So call NJ Diet and lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in as little as 40 days. 40 days guaranteed. You see, their program works using bioenergetically personalized supplements based on your hair, your saliva, and blood work to help you lose that fat. And then NJ Diet utilizes DNA testing to help you keep the weight off. Locations are all over the East Coast or worldwide with live online video consultations. So start by calling today at 855-5NJ-DIET. 855-5NJ-DIET or schedule your initial consultation at njdiet.com. Lose the weight for good. Feel great with njdiet.com.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
We had reform prosecutors where people tried to blame just one entity. We all have to work together, and the reality is that we have been more
effective. And you are a reform district attorney. Everybody in the country knows that. But maybe it's not working.
It is working. The reality is that our
1,000 people killed in 20 months.
It is working. The reality is, when you look at all these different jurisdictions, we have had a devastating blow from the pandemic, and there is absolutely no correlation between being progressive or traditional and the rate of crime. These states in the United States that have a rate of homicide that is 40% higher are MAGA states. They are Trump states. I'll say it again. The rate of homicide in Trump states as compared to Biden states, take all 50 of them, is 40%
higher. You know, Republicans say the opposite. It's all the blue states.
Republicans lie. I mean,
Republicans lie. There you go. Here to talk about it with me, it's such a pleasure to welcome back to the show. Andrew C. McCarthy is a senior fellow at the National Review Institute, an NR contributing editor and author of Ball of Collusion, The Plot to Rig an Election and Destroy a Presidency. His latest piece, Larry Krasner's Lies. Andy, thanks for making time for me. It's great to talk to you again.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Rich.
I love this latest piece you wrote about Larry Krasner and absolutely pointing out that he is the one on that Fox 29 clip we just heard with Mike Jarrett. He's the one lying. So thank you for setting the record straight.
Well, I mean, it's not rocket science for anyone, is it, Rich? I mean, you know, I don't mean to laugh about it, but what the commentator or the host in that interview clip that you played pointed out to him, it's, you know, 1,000 people have been killed in the last 20 months. I pointed out in the piece that you were good enough to mention that, you know, Philadelphia is about a fifth, a sixth the size of New York City in terms of population. It's about 1.6 million versus almost 9 million in New York. And yet you had 80 more homicides in Philadelphia than they had in New York City. You had more homicides in Philadelphia than in Los Angeles, which is a city of almost twice the size. So, you know, I just think it's obvious where the problem is coming from. And the other thing I would just point out is that it's almost, and I rely a lot on Rafael Mengual's great book for this purpose. He's a scholar at the Manhattan Institute, just wrote a great book on these efforts to defund and decarcerate defund the police and all that jazz. But what he points out is that it's almost an overstatement to talk about crime even as a city or an urban phenomenon, because most of the crime that's committed in the country is committed in small pockets of places within cities. It's not even just a citywide issue, even though it obviously creates problems for the entirety of a city. But crime is committed in hub areas by recidivist offenders. And I can say, having been a prosecutor for 20 years, during which we saw the decline of very high crime that we had from the late 60s to the 90s to record low crime. I was a prosecutor for about half that period, so I saw the bad old days and the time afterwards. Aggressive prosecution and competent policing can handle the kind of problems that we're talking about, which is where you have recidivist offenders in small hubs within cities. But you have to want to do it. and he clearly doesn't. He's more of a defense lawyer, except, you know, I've never seen a defense lawyer before with prosecutorial authority who can tie the police's hands the way Krasner has done.
Yeah, and this point about MAGA states, I mean, even if a state is red, and let's take Pennsylvania for a moment, even if a state is a red state, and it's not, I mean, Pennsylvania, you know, went for Biden last time around in the election, but let's assume it's Pennsylvania he's talking about. Pennsylvania, as you point out, Andy, has a low rate of overall crime, a category that includes petty crime, but it ranks in just the middle of the pack among other states in violent crime. But as you point out, you know, so what? The statistic is irrelevant to the majority of Pennsylvania counties that see few, if any, murders. The state number is way higher than it should be because of Philadelphia, because of Larry Krasner's city of Philadelphia.
Yeah. What is the relevance to someone, you know, pick your county in Pennsylvania, right? What's the relevance of someone who's living in one of the vast majority of counties in the United States that doesn't have a murder problem? If you know that Philadelphia has 500 murders, that doesn't, you know, that doesn't, it's just a, you know, it doesn't read on what the problem is. It's not a statewide problem. It's not even a citywide problem. And that makes it an enforcement problem in small hubs. There's only one person who's responsible for enforcement in Philadelphia. That's Krasner. So if the crime rate is very high someplace else, or if it's non-existent someplace else, especially the murder rate, that doesn't say anything about how Krasner is doing his job in Philadelphia, which is appalling.
And you know, Andy, it's this is a problem we have with these woke progressive prosecutors across the country who have decided that they are going to become essentially now prosecutors, and they're not. I mean, they're defense attorneys, so I should say district attorneys or whatever their appropriate title is. But they are looking at this as their way to try to rewrite racial injustice or whatever else, and it's happening across the country in blue cities. And as you point out in your piece, you know, the victims of this in many cases happen to be Black Americans. I mean, the Black citizens in these cities, in the city of Philadelphia, it's those neighborhoods that are the neighborhoods that are besieged by crime. So if guys like Krasner think that they are righting some racial injustice by getting a guy who's arrested after shooting a cop or has an illegal gun by getting him back on the streets, I mean, it's the opposite of that. He's making the neighborhoods more dangerous for the Black residents of those neighborhoods.
Right. He's abetting racial injustice to the extent there is any. I mean, I hate talking in these terms, as I know you do, Rich. You know, we want to see everybody as an American. We don't want to be divided along these lines. But if you're going to play that game, which is what the progressives do, then the fact of the matter is that Larry Krasner would be the leading aider and abettor of racial injustice because his policies are leading to an exacerbation of the problem that plagues Black and minority neighborhoods uniquely. I mean, I used in the column you referred to, I used Chicago as an example because it was the readiest example to hand. I didn't have the numbers in Philadelphia, but I imagine they're similar. Chicago has only a 29% of the city is African American, and yet 80% of the murders in Chicago are of African Americans. So, you know, if you're going to have policies that are going to make that problem worse, then the people who are disproportionately, by population standards, victimized by it are obviously going to be victimized first. So who is he helping? The criminals.
Right. And I think that's the goal. I mean, I really do. I think these guys have a mindset that the criminals are the victims here. They're the victims of capitalism. They're the victims of education, of the education system, of all kinds, you know, legacy of oppression. I really do believe that their mindset is that these criminals are only criminals because of what we as society have done to create the conditions by which they have to resort to crime. So their mindset is not to prosecute them because they don't look at them as bad guys. They look at them as victims.
Yeah, I guess if you were going to attribute logic to them, Rich, that would be the way to look. No, well, I wish
I'm sorry,
I was,
that was funny. I like that. That was very good.
I know, but I wish I were joking. But, you know, I'm really – the point I want to make, which should be funny because it's you know, the idea of applying this to a society and hoping the society will function peacefully is insane. But that's – we're living in insane times. But I think that there's not really – intellectual rigor or logic to this at all. It's completely emotional and tribal. That is to say, these people have decided that our politics today, in terms of getting and maintaining power, and let's not forget, for all we can say here about Krasner and how appalling his policies are, he got reelected in a walk. I mean, it wasn't even close, right? So I think what these guys have calculated is that this is what the tribe requires, the tribe being the anti-American left. So they turn the criminal into kind of a symbol of victimization by the, you know, the awful society that we have here that they're trying to transform. And what they're hoping is that this will gin up support of the Democratic base and that they'll come out and elect them. So I don't think there's any great logic to it. The only logic of it is sheer power and what works to get and maintain it. And I think what they've decided is what wins elections these days is making sure that you're on the right side. And most importantly, that you're against the right people and that that's what gets your supporters out. And it's worked for Krasner. I wish it hadn't.
You know, something else, too, that I think, Andy, is really important to notice is how the politics seem to have shifted. You know, the defund the police nonsense that we heard over and over and over again. James Carville calling it the dumbest words he's ever heard uttered in the English language. You've got these politicians now who are trying to act like they never said it. And you're also seeing at a time when, and again, we hate to use these racial boxes, but it's what the left does. We're seeing now where Black, African-American voters, Hispanic voters are trending away from Democrats in these rural areas because, again, they are the most affected by this. So if you've noticed now, the Democrats are all trying to bend over backwards to say, no, we never said we wanted to defund the police. Never, ever.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a game going on there, too, Rich, which is and this is why people like Carville call it out, because he's smarter than most of these guys. We look at this and we say, what could be more stupid than to defund the police when you need the police? Right. What the more clever progressives, I think of this is. Idiots, don't say defund the police. We don't want to defund the police. We want to multiply the funding for police. But what we want to do is once we have that funding, we want to channel it away from the things that people think of as traditional policing. So, you know, in other words, you call 911 and, you know, a social worker shows up instead of like armed police officers. That's the world that they want to create. But they don't want what the smarter Democrats, I think, are saying to the, you know, to the edgy progressives is we don't want to cancel out the police's budget. We want to exploit it for other purposes. So don't say defund the police. We can still do what you want to do. We can still channel funding away from police and we can restrict them and tie their hands and attrit them a bit, you know, narrow down how many police you have. But we want those funding streams, but we just want to give it to the things that we prefer, which is not traditional law enforcement. So I'm amused by that because you have some, as you say, you have some of these Democrats who are pretending that they never said these things. And then you have these other Democrats who are like Carville, who are lecturing them like defund the police is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But he doesn't mean that the way you and I mean that. He doesn't mean that I shouldn't try to read Carville's mind. So let me say more broadly, the smarter progressives, generally speaking, when they say defund the police is the most stupid thing I've ever heard, what they're not saying that they think the police don't have a problem, that we need police. What they're saying is, you morons, don't you understand how politics works? We don't defund anything. We just raid it.
Right.
You know?
Right, exactly. Andy McCarthy is with me, of course, senior fellow at the National Review Institute. His columns at National Review are great. Highly recommend you subscribe and follow him. And he's on Twitter at Well, and I'll post a link to his latest piece. Well, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about something California Governor Gavin Newsom did. So he's done a bunch of dumb things recently, including making California a sanctuary for child gender surgery. But I wanted to ask you about this law he just signed restricting the use of rap lyrics as evidence in criminal cases. Now, I hear this and I think to myself, but what happens if a guy actually really does confess to murder in his song? I mean, like, what if he's actually confessing in that? You know, Hamlet, the whole kind of point of this was, you know, therein lies how we'll get the guy. I mean, there's a long history of using art to essentially convey guilt of something in one way or another. How do we deal with that if somebody has really come out and said, yeah, I whacked this guy last night, and we know that he sang it in a song, but he's shielded from that by the virtue of the fact that it's, I guess, supposed to be art or something?
Yeah, I think it's very problematic, Rich, because, you know, if the government tried to restrict what you could speak about, then they wouldn't be able to do that under the First Amendment. But the government is allowed to make restrictions on what can be used in court. That's not like a free speech thing in court. That's an evidence restriction. And, you know, there's a lot of restrictions on the use of various evidence that we may think are unwise, but the states are allowed to put them in. I personally think this is really a dumb thing to do, because to the extent what he's saying is that you have to have artistic expression, and sometimes people in a hyperbolic way in art will say something that in reality may misrepresent reality, you know, it may not really be a confession to a crime. The short answer to this is we let juries that are properly instructed by judges to resolve that in an individual case based on all the evidence, right? So if somebody who's a notorious liar, you know, says something in a rap song to try to, you know, paint himself as if he was a bigger, badder guy than he actually is, and then the government tried to use that as evidence that he committed a homicide when he actually hadn't done it, we usually let juries sort that out. And in a normal trial, what would happen is the jury would hear all the evidence and they'd say, I don't care what it says in the rap song, the guy didn't do it. You know, he's bragging. You know, you let people, that's the reason we have juries, right? You let the common sense of the community weigh that along with everything else in the case. To take it off the table entirely when it might actually be relevant evidence, to me, doesn't make sense. And if he's trying to like portray himself as a defender of art, I don't know who's going to buy that, that he's a defender of art, but I just think the downside, I mean, everything has a cost benefit analysis, right? Whatever uptick he gets by being perceived that way, is going to be, grossly outweighed, I would think, by the downside of the policy.
Yeah, well said. As always, I appreciate you and great talking to you, my friend. Andy McCarthy, always appreciate your time. We'll talk again.
Thanks so much, Rich.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the Free Odyssey app.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.